Short Shorts with Josh and
Dan.
Dan, of course, Dan.
Short Shorts, we talk sports. Short Shorts.
It's Short Shorts with Josh and Dan. We'll give you $30 to listen to our show.
Checks will not be honored.
On tonight's episode of Short Shorts, Josh and Dan remove their undergarments for a 7-year-old schoolboy.
Why, here they come, Josh and Dan with the Short Shorts again.
Hello, shorties. We're back.
It's been a little bit of a lull here, huh?
It's been like, I think we've done like one podcast in the last month, and we have literally no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, we're too unemployed. Well, I'm single. Are you ready to announce to the podcast world if you're in a relationship?
I think we should keep that to the next podcast.
Make them want something more. And the next podcast will be in the year 2012, by
the way. We can do the entire podcast about my love life next time. But for now,
I'm sure people are looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
So anyways, I can't speak on behalf of Josh, but I'm sorry that we've been so not busy and not podcasting.
Yeah, I'm not sorry at all. Like, whatever.
Oh, wow. Way to play it tough. A little tough love for the shorties out there.
No, I'm very sorry. Dan and I have weird schedules, so we're trying to institute shorter shorts now, in between Short Shorts episodes.
Yeah.
These little, like, easy to digest, 7-minute...
You find that our longer short shorts are difficult to digest?
Yeah, I seem to find that in the past. Spend a lot of time in the bathroom after I listen to it. So.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to eat, like, some day-old Chinese food after, right before listening to one of our short shorts. I've made that mistake many times, and it does not end pretty.
I don't understand why you keep making that mistake.
You know? Yeah, well, I love day-old Chinese, and I love short shorts, so right. What are you going to do? And God bless my heart, I'm going to keep on making that mistake.
All right. Well, we've been away for a while, but the main thing that's happened in our time away is NBA trades, and mainly free agent signings, so
yeah.
I think we should just kind of talk about them a bit and see what we think.
Really interesting summer. You know, you factor in two big things, I think, going on this summer with free agency that you don't see in many other off seasons. Is you have next summer is so hyped up, more so than any other free agent summer in any sport that I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then that combined with the economy, and a lot of teams are just trying to get rid of money and get rid of contracts as much as possible.
True, very true. And a lot of, it seems like, I mean, needless to say, there's already been a lot more action than there has been in recent years, and it's only, what is it, July 8th, something like that, so.
Yeah, but the curve kind of tends to drop down after that first week or so. It was weird, the first 2 days, like, nothing happened. Teams were just kind of, like, you know, waiting for that first straw to break.
Well, when did free agency open? Like, how far before the draft?
July 1st.
And the draft
was, I think, on the 28th, 27th.
Oh, free agency was after the draft, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're saying like nothing big happened, but Darko Milicic got traded for Quentin Richardson, so.
Yeah, is Darko on the Knicks right now?
I feel like every time I bring that up, you think I'm being serious, but I'm actually being ridiculously sarcastic.
Oh, wait, he's not on the Knicks?
No. He did get traded for Quentin Richardson, but it's like, that was just like the most. Remember they announced that trade at the draft, and like all the Knicks fans got excited because they were like, you know, there's been a trade, New Yorkers, and then it ends up being Darko.
Yeah, they were pretty bummed about not getting Curry. He would have been a fun fit. But wait, I just want to clarify this, because I was like reading up on like before we did our podcast today, just to make sure I knew all the transactions that happened. So Darko Milicic is playing on the New York Knicks next season.
Darko is going to bring some championship experience to the New York Knicks.
I am pumped about the fact that Darko and Danilo are both playing on the same team for D'Antoni next season.
That seems like it's like a Bennifer kind of thing.
Like, it seems like there needs to be a reality TV show about the two of them conversing in the locker room and playing garbage minutes. And introducing their respective cultures to each other.
that's what the show's about. That's it right there.
Absolutely. That's it. I'll pitch it to my, I don't know who, but no, I'll pitch it to you.
You can pitch it to me right now if you want.
Sure, why not? But yeah, so that was probably the not biggest signings of the free agent period. But what do you think? So like I was saying, the big teams that were willing to spend some money and that thought they could really win a championship this season, it seems like those kind of top-tier teams weren't so much worried about the next offseason. So they were the ones that really took advantage of the teams that are either looking to clear space for economy reasons or looking to clear space for 2010 reasons.
It definitely makes you happier as a fan also that, I mean, sure, 2010 is going to be great, tons of free agents, but yeah. If you're like a season ticket holder, if you're just a big fan of a team, you know, you don't want to wait a whole year until that summer happens. You want to, you know, you want your team to improve this season also. And
that's true, but the NBA kind of had a good thing going for a couple years with I thought, a really good level of parity in the league for the most part. Obviously, you're going to have your bottom-tier teams no matter what, but there was a point, not so much this past year, but the year before, where there was, like, realistically, like, 10 teams that could have won the championship.
Yeah.
You know, you had Utah, New Orleans, Boston, San Antonio, Cleveland, Los Angeles. You had a lot of teams all going for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of like it's down to four. And in my mind, I think three teams that could win the championship.
I think that the NBA needs to get rid of, like, six teams.
Yes. I think most leagues need to get rid of six teams.
But it's all a money thing. It's
definitely included there.
It's just money. They have all these stadiums, all these season ticket holders, everybody paying money. But man, it would be so cool if they got rid of six teams and like...
just held a draft.
Yeah, and they held a draft.
Because there's bad teams. They're in bad markets and they're run poorly. But they have some pretty exciting players on this team.
God, that'd be so exciting if they had a draft and Kevin Durant got drafted by the Heat. You know, something like that.
We would have to do a live podcast.
Oh my God, that'd be
overwhelming. I don't even have the technology to do it, but God damn it, we would do it.
Well, the only other trade besides Darko and Q Rich that is even noteworthy is the Vince Carter trade.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. New Jersey's been looking to get rid of Carter for a while. I think in terms of why New Jersey maybe did it, is one, they're looking to clear salary cap space if they do eventually move to Brooklyn and try and make a run at good old Bron, Jay-Z's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's kind of weird because now they have Harris, Devin Harris, who had a great year, and Rafer Alston in their backcourt.
Yeah, and these guys aren't shooting guards by any means. This is
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah,
it's kind of like this whole Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn thing. Like, people are saying.
I wanted to say, I feel like you went to Syracuse, so you know, you probably have followed Jay Flynn quite a bit, yeah?
Yeah, Jay Flynn's great. But, you know, I mean, Jay Flynn and Rubio are just like authentic point guards. It's the same thing with Alston and Harris. Like, I guess Alston maybe could be a shooting guard, but I can't see Harris being a shooting guard. He needs the ball in his hands to create. That's what he does. So.
I agree. Maybe they just try and trade them at some point. It's a weird trade from New Jersey's perspective. It just seemed like they really wanted to get rid of Vince Carter.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
they did get Courtney Lee, which I think is a nice pickup for them.
Yeah, Courtney Lee is good. They need a guy like that, but I mean, they're not going to trade Harris. Harris is their point guard for the next 10 years, so.
Exactly, yeah.
If they're going to do some like strange thing where Alston is a sixth man and they do two point guards sometimes, which is like, you know, teams have done that, but it's...
yeah. You know, I do have to say, now just saying it out loud, because one interesting thing I heard about the Knicks is the Knicks are trying to dump as much salary as possible so they could throw as much money at LeBron as possible. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that they're kind of, LeBron's going to go to a really shitty team if he does go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if New Jersey can legitimately move to Brooklyn, they would have as their core young players Devin Harris, Courtney Lee, and Brooke Lopez. As like three really good up and coming players, and I think they're going to all be really good players.
Yeah,
and then throw LeBron in there if they could match some of the like New York's money, that would be, and in Brooklyn to start off a new franchise, and I think a cool place to start off a new franchise, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point, and you know all these teams are trying to get LeBron, but you're right. If the Knicks have all this terrible team in place, then first of all, if LeBron goes there, they're not going to win, and second of all, he's probably not going to want to go there at all if there's just like literally no pieces there at all to work with.
Unless he just views it purely from an entrepreneurial perspective, and the amount of endorsements that he can get in a New York market would just be insane.
It's true.
So
I mean,
if he really doesn't care about winning a championship, then he's going to go to New York.
His legacy would be so weird if he never won a title. And
yes, it would be very bizarre. You're right. Cause there's never been a more hyped up player than him in any sport.
Exactly. And you know, it would just be, it would be very strange. I mean, especially when, like, the guy in his class, Dwayne Wade, already has a title. And another guy in his class, Darko Milicic, also has a title. So, you know.
Darko.
You gotta look
and
at
now,
it that way.
As fate would have it, he would then be playing with Darko.
That's right. The number one
Darko,
or two.
Darko, who was chosen ahead of Carmelo Anthony, and who was, you know, supposed to be the rival with LeBron.
That would be very interesting. I wonder if there's ever been a time where the number one and two from the same draft were on the same team at one point.
I'm sure the Clippers have pulled it off at some point.
There's anybody that can.
I'm sure like the two biggest 1 and 2 busts have like played for the Clippers at some points in their careers. But one thing that I didn't include about the Knicks is that I think the Knicks are trying to clear up so much space is that they're not just going to go for LeBron. They're kind of going for like two players kind of thing. They're going for like a Nash and LeBron or a LeBron and Wade, LeBron and Bosh kind of combo.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like is it either LeBron or, you know, Bosh and Wade, or can it be LeBron and Bosh? I don't know if, you know,
what LeBron's and Bosh would actually work really well.
Oh, I mean financially.
I think the only combo there that doesn't work well is LeBron and Wade. That, to me, I really sincerely hope that doesn't happen. And right. There's been talks that they kind of had this, like, verbal secret pact that they want to try and make that happen.
I was talking more about from a financial perspective. Like, can you afford LeBron and Wade? Or is it easier to, is it more rational to afford Wade and Bosh, you know, two guys like that? I don't know if you can, I don't know if you could pair LeBron with somebody. I think it's LeBron and just LeBron, or it's potentially someone like Wade and Bosh, maybe.
Well, if LeBron wants a championship, he better you know, recognize that he's not going to do it by himself in New York.
Right. That's definitely true. But I'll tell you one team I'm excited about next year is this new look Pistons team.
Are you jokingly excited?
No,
or are you
excited? I am. I am excited. Definitely excited.
Ben Gordon, to me, 7 games doesn't all of a sudden change an entire career, you know?
I'll give you that.
Yeah, he had a great series against the Celtics, but that, you know, I want to see him do it for 82 games.
So yeah. Do I, but that's an interesting team. It really is. And, you know,
Villanueva, same with Villanueva, too. He had a really good season last year, but the 2 seasons prior to that, he was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, but if he's trending to get better, then, you know, who knows what might happen on a team like this where he's got a lot of, like, you know, experienced guys around him, like Hamilton and whoever else is left in Detroit.
And Tayshaun Prince and McDice.
Tayshaun, yeah, Tay-Tay.
Well, here's 2 problems I see with Detroit right now. First problem is they just hired Cleveland's assistant coach,
mm-hmm.
which is like, why would you hire the assistant coach to one of the most poorly coached teams in the league? And I do not even care that Brown won the coach of the year. They are one of the most poorly coached teams in the league.
Okay.
So that's one. Why would you hire that guy? That's not like a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2, I think Detroit just like legitimately has no shot against beating Boston or Cleveland this season in the playoffs. And they're in that kind of weird position where for some teams in the Eastern Conference, just because they don't beat the top 2 tiers and make the Eastern Conference Finals, it's still a moral victory. But for Detroit, they still have that really recent memory of like making the Eastern Conference Finals something like 6 years in a row or something like that, and like winning a championship and having that nucleus intact. And so because that taste is so recent for them, I think there's no moral victory of like getting out of the first round. For them, it's they and especially with these kind of big of signings, for them, they're like, they make these signs because you think you're going to win, you know, at least make the conference finals. And I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely true and that they have grand expectations. But I think they know with these new pieces in place and a new system that's going to be developed, I think they know that, you know, maybe the Pistons are like a 6th seed this year. But I think this team's got a lot of potential in like, you know, 2-3 years down the road with that nucleus that we talked about to be really good. So I think as long as they know the potential's there, that they'll settle for like a 6th seed this year maybe or whatever it might be, because I think that they can, I like this team. I think they have a lot of interesting pieces, and McDice is old, but, you know, they'll find someone to replace him.
He still can deliver something.
Yeah, no, he still delivers.
I kind of worry a little bit. So Bynum's a free agent, I think, so they don't even have a point guard right now.
They have Stuckey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, you're right.
Credibility down the shitter.
Sorry, I was thinking of someone else. Yeah, Stuckey, okay. You're right. They still have Stuckey.
Yeah. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. So that was like, you know, Detroit was a team that actually like made a big splash in getting 2 guys. But there's, you know, these other teams. We have the Spurs got Jefferson. The Celtics got Cheed. The Cavs got Shaq. You know, the Lakers got Artest. The Rockets got Ariza.
I think the Artest thing really quickly. Did you see the ESPN interview he did after making the verbal agreement with LA?
No.
It was great. I mean, it was one of those things where he said he took less money and because he wanted to work hard, push himself, and win a championship. And it was just some of the quotes he was saying. Some of the quotes he was saying were just crazy Artest quotes.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to sort through what he's saying a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But when you get down to what he's saying, the kind of stuff he's saying is everything you look for in an athlete in modern-day sports, you know, and you rarely see. You know, you see guys you know, like Manny and everything like that cheating. You see, you know, baseball player like Johnny Damon switching teams, and it's just, it's blatantly all about the business. Mm-hmm. But this Ron Artest thing, he was saying he wants to win a championship. He took a pay cut so he could be on what he thinks his team has the best chance of winning a championship, and playing with Kobe Bryant will be an honor. And just the stuff he was saying was really cool. And he gets such a bad rap, but you know, in this series when he was playing LA, I fell in love with him. I thought he was playing with his heart on his sleeve, putting everything out there, and wanted nothing more than to win. He didn't care about his record deal, his like production company, or anything like that. He just wanted to win. I think that's pretty cool. All
right, let's recap. You've fallen in love with Ron Artest.
100%.
All right.
But I'm terrified of him. I've fallen in love with him in like a Tina Turner, Ike Turner kind of way.
Oh my goodness. That's for the older crowd.
Yeah. I gotta give it up for our older shorties.
Well, the one thing I was going to say is that I think you're right with Artest kind of, you know, not being financially greedy and joining on to a good team. I think he's definitely grown up a bit. He's still crazy. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that guy's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, after the story about how he was playing street ball back in the day and someone got murdered.
Yeah,
he's still got a couple sandwiches short of a picnic, you know?
Got murdered with a chair of a leg, so, you know.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for chair legs. I'll never look at them the same.
But yeah, it's a good move, you know. And I think, from LA standpoint, they essentially replaced Ariza with Artest, which is a major
upgrade. But
that's
upgrade. I mean, no offense to Ariza. Ariza is on the upswing of his career, but I just think it's a really big upgrade.
Yeah, Trevor, if you're out there, no offense.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that the defending champions just made a really big upgrade, you know, so that's a pretty, like, noteworthy signing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's, I think they're going to be tough. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in, because on that Houston team, especially when McGrady went down, and then later when Yao went down.
That Houston team's done now.
But I mean, just in general, when Artest was there, he assumed a much more of a offensive role, and I think more than he's comfortable with. And he was, you know, in the playoffs, he was shooting a lot of awkward shots, and he was getting very hot and cold. And I think on a team like LA with this team, he can shoot when he's comfortable, he can take over when he wants to, but also just blend in and play good defense. So it's a good fit for him.
That's a tough team to play against. Kobe, Powell, and Artest as your big three right there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we'll see how Bynum develops this year. To be honest, I just think Bynum's too fragile. I don't know if he's going to work out. But
Powell is just so good, though. Powell
is really, really good. You're right.
I want to see Powell, like, shave his beard and cut his hair short again so he looks like he did when he was, you know, like, 22 when he just joined the league. I miss that.
I think Powell needs to go under one of those like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, or like some like The Learning Chat TLC, like Women's Network or something like that, and like get a complete makeover.
Did you call TLC the Women's Network?
Yeah, whatever. Listen, I've been living with some buddies up in Boston for the past week, crashing here, and there's a lot of girls in the house, and they're all unemployed, and they're all making me watch these awful, awful programs. Let's not get into that now.
So what do they think about the Sheed to the Celtics? They must have their
points. What do they think about it, or what do I think about it?
Well, they first, then you after.
They probably think that like Sheed probably needs like a hug and a pedicure. And he definitely needs to go to a dentist, because he's got some crazy teeth. But what I think about it is I think they just, you know, punch a ticket to the finals, you know?
Punch it.
It's been punched. I think the Shaq trade, I think it'll help them. I don't know if that's like the reason why Cleveland didn't get past Orlando is because of their center situation. Obviously, Dwight Howard was great. I just think the big reason Cleveland didn't get past Orlando was because the final like 10 minutes of the game, the final like 8 minutes of the game, LeBron was the only scoring option.
Yeah.
The only scoring option. And that's just not going to change. Mo Williams is not all of a sudden going to have an amazing playoffs now that Shaq's there. And the rest of their no-name bench isn't all of a sudden going to start turning it up because Shaq's there.
Well, it's really cool that the best three teams in the East all upgraded, with the Cavs getting Shaq, you know, the Celtics getting Sheed, and then the Magic getting Carter.
I don't know if that's an upgrade, though.
No, actually, come to think about it, I don't know either, with the pieces they gave
away. And they also lost Gortat, I believe.
And they lost Hidu.
So I don't think Orlando necessarily upgraded, but they're going to have Nelson healthy the entire time, so that'll be something.
Where did your boy Gortat go?
I think he signed with Dallas.
And Dallas wants Marion, apparently, also?
I heard Marion might go to Cleveland. I think that, I still, like, in my heart, like, want to believe that Marion's going to be, like, an effective player next year. I don't understand why that would happen. It would defy all logic. But I really want to believe that he could be like a lockdown defender. Maybe he can be, and it just goes unnoticed, and he's been a better defender than I've given him credit for in the past year or two. But I don't know.
It'd be sad in a way if he it'd be sad in a way if he got in a really good team and he started playing really well again, because then it would go to show for the last 3 years he was just tanking it and not trying at all.
So. Yeah, you're kind of, well, why would he tank it when he was with Miami? Miami last year before their trade, they made the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess
you're playing with Wade. I don't know. Well, I think it's just absurd that he claimed to want to be the alpha dog when he demanded a trade out of Phoenix. And it's like, he's just never going to be an alpha dog. If he is going to be an alpha dog on the team, it's going to be a really bad team.
Yeah, I mean, like Joe Johnson did the exact same thing earlier, and he's...
But Joe Johnson was younger and really talented.
Right, that's what I'm saying, that worked out, because and Joe Johnson is the alpha dog on that Hawks team, by all means.
Well, it worked out in the respect that Atlanta's never going to win a championship, but... Like, yeah, he's the alpha dog on a playoff contending team.
Right, he got what he wanted, so, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did get what he wanted. Yeah, if Joe Johnson just never asked to be traded in Phoenix, well, let's not go down that road, all right? I'm gonna just cut myself off right now.
This might get ugly. But the one other person we should talk about real quick is Jefferson to the Spurs.
Yeah, man. If they stay healthy, that's a tough series for L.A. right there.
It's hard to imagine that team healthy, not making Western Conference Finals, and not pushing LA to at least 6 games, and even winning that series, you know?
I completely agree with you. I think the biggest factor is Tim Duncan's health, because I don't think the Lakers have anyone that could really guard a 100% healthy Tim Duncan.
But also Ginobili's health.
I just don't believe in Bynum that, like, he's going to be tough enough. If I had to take Bynum or Duncan right now, if they're both healthy, you got to go Duncan.
Oh, well, of course. But also, you got to think about Ginobili's health. And, you know,
both of their healths are big. But I'm saying that Lakers have guys that could, at the very least, slow down Ginobili, you know, primarily someone like Ron Artest.
Yeah.
And Kobe can guard him as well. But those guys can't guard Duncan.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't even think they have anyone on the roster that could guard Duncan, whereas they have guys on the roster that could, at the very least, try and slow down guys like Parker and Ginobili, if they're both healthy.
I kind of wouldn't mind seeing the Spurs do well this year, just because they had a tough year last year, and if Ginobili comes back healthy, and if Duncan's, you know, playing conservative in the season, and then he keeps a lot of energy for the playoffs, I think they're like a fun team to watch. I mean, they're very, very fundamental and basic. Everybody knows that, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see LA win again. You know,
I think that's the thing. For a number of years, it was so boring to see San Antonio excel because it just seemed like it was so easy for them to. They were just so much better than the rest of the West.
Right.
But now they're an underdog compared to LA, so that almost makes you kind of. I agree with you. I wouldn't mind seeing them go into the finals as well.
It's almost like with I mean, this is just for me personally, but like Roger Federer was just like the undisputed champion for so long. And then Rafael Nadal came around, and I feel like you didn't root for Federer when he was always winning, but now that this like young upstart's coming out of nowhere, you kind of root for him again because you want him to reclaim his
throne. Especially they're going different directions in their career.
Exactly. I think people just love the underdog, and even if the Spurs are healthy and have Jefferson and are ready to go, I think they'll still be the underdog, and you know they won't be defending champions. So it'll be an interesting story. I'm looking forward to next season. I hope it starts like tomorrow.
I think it might start a little bit more than tomorrow, but, you know, you believe what you gotta believe.
You dropped something over there? What happened?
Why you gotta call me out of it? Just why can't you edit it over and let me let it go?
I don't edit anymore. I don't edit.
No editing now, huh?
No, yeah.
You're editing days or beyond?
Well, I think we should get into, we haven't done short shorts in like 4 weeks, but the last time we did it, our bet for betting men, our bet we make each podcast, full podcast, was we bet on how many celebrities would be at the first NBA Finals game in LA.
That's right.
The over-under was 6.5.
Man, that was a long time ago.
Over-under was 6.5, and you took the over. And if I can just list these off right now, you can count them off with me. Ready?
All right.
All right, Jack Nicholson.
One.
Andy Garcia.
Dos.
David Arquette.
Is he a celebrity?
I mean, they showed him. It's pretty questionable.
All right, helps me out. So he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Sure.
Today he's a celebrity. Tomorrow, no. But yeah. David Arquette's 3. Okay. Denzel Washington.
4.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leo. Five?
Your boy, Kevin Conley.
I don't know why. Oh, is he my boy because he's short?
Yeah, he looks like you.
He is really short. All right. I'll put him at, what if he should count as a half because he's so small.
All right. And Toby Maguire.
Toby. Cool. Now, that works for me. That's 7 in my book.
Now, let me tell you the other people they showed. This is funny because you literally won by 0.5 because other people they showed, you can't really call celebrities. Let me give you other people I wrote down that they showed.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife, Maria Shriver.
But she's not I think she's a celebrity.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's kind of
hasn't she been in like a movie or modeled or something like that?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're right. But let me continue here.
Okay.
Before you defeat my entire argument.
Yeah.
Bill Russell, not a celebrity. He's a basketball player. Hall of Famer.
You're right, okay.
David Stern.
Okay.
Not a celebrity. Billie Jean King.
Okay, yeah, I mean, same thing as Russell, yeah.
And Lisa Leslie, your girl.
Lisa Leslie, for the record, is not my girl. It's Diana Taurasi, who is my heart of hearts. I don't even know what that means. It's the first time I've ever used that saying, but I don't even know if it's a saying. I think I might have just made it up.
No, that's a saying, and it sounded good. So
good. It sounded good calling Diana Taurasi my heart of hearts. That sounded good. Okay, good to know.
One thing we got to talk about real quick is that during that podcast, we made a quick side bet on the spot because you were so sure that Donald Sutherland was the guy that sits next to Jack Nicholson, and we both did some research, and I said that he wasn't, and you said he was, and the research showed that he wasn't. His name is Lou Adler, and he's some sort of a record producer. So,
and in his spare time, a stunt double for Donald Sutherland.
Yes, definitely, but still... Not the real Donald, so...
You're right. My hat is off to you and your extensive free time and ability to research these things.
So, well, I lost
this
the
is actually why we haven't had time to do another short shorts, is because we've been researching this bet so much.
Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is that I won the side bet, you won the main bet. I'm going to let this side bet haunt you in future weeks, but for now...
Thanks, I appreciate it. Good sport.
You win this. The wager was 2 minutes in heaven, so you have 2 minutes to talk about anything you want, and are you ready?
Get ready for 2 minutes of hockey. I am ready. Or the question is the audience ready?
The audience is ready, and you are beginning in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so we have hockey free agency started also July 1st, and there were actually some very exciting transactions, and NHL teams aren't just being afraid to make let the economy affect them. So we'll quickly jump into it. Montreal, I think, made some really nice offensive signings. Their offense was getting a little stale. They got Gomez, Gianta, and Camilleri. I think they're all going to be really good scorers. They got Gomez from the Rangers, and I think he'll be a good fit for Montreal's up-paced style. The Rangers ended up getting Gabarek, who is basically a Tracy McGrady of the NHL, one of the top five talents when he's healthy, but he's hardly ever healthy. I think the two biggest teams that made the best improvements were Chicago. They got Marian Hosso, who was the biggest free agent prize, and John Madden, who I think is a great third-line checker, to combo that with Patrick Kane and Johnny Toews. I think they really made some substantial improvements, especially considering that they made it to the conference finals last year, and they're only going to get better. The only problem is that they let go of Hobby Boulin, so now their only goalie is Cristobal Huey.
1 minute left.
What's that?
1 minute left.
All right, 1 minute left. So I don't know if he's going to be good enough to... Oh, I'm halfway there. I still have... All right, I'm good. Cristobal Huey, I don't know if he's a good enough goalie to win a Stanley Cup, but then again, Chris Osgood just won a Stanley Cup last year, so anything's possible in the words of Kevin Garnett. Then the other team, this was a trade, I think it actually went a little under the radar just because it wasn't a free agent signing, was Pronger to Philadelphia. Pronger is a warrior, he's built for a best-of-seven series, he fits in with Philadelphia's mentality perfectly. They lost Joffrey Leupold, but the Philadelphia already had plenty of scoring options. I think that was a really big signing for Philadelphia. And they got Ray Emery, who, even though he was an outcast with the Senators, I think he's going to work well as long as he's within the right system. I think Knubel to Washington was a really big pickup. He's a good American kind of third line, second line, gritty scorer that fits in well with the European locker room.
5 seconds.
It kind of gives them that gritty presence. So Philly, I think, made a big
stand.
Chicago.
That's it.
All right, there we go.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Whew. If I can be perfectly honest with you, I spent the first minute of that checking my voicemails. But I heard the word Javi Bullen. I also heard the fact that John Madden plays hockey now. That's weird.
John Madden, he used to play for the New Jersey Devils. He's won a couple Stanley Cups with them, and now he potentially will win a Stanley Cup with Chicago Blackhawks.
Nice. Well, good job. Very nice.
Thanks for not paying attention. I really appreciate it.
Well, no, that was really good, though. You scored a lot of information
there.
No,
don't pity me, Josh. Okay. I don't need it. I know what I did was good, you know? And so does the hockey world. I don't need your little basketball condescending praise.
Whoa.
Wow, this shit just got real, huh?
I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, this is awkward now. I'm sorry. Yeah. I crossed the line a little bit there. I'm so riled up. My heart's racing.
Yeah, I got to give you a hug right now. We'll be good.
All right,
we'll
little online podcast hug.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. All right.
All right. So we should talk about this week's bet. Home Run Derby is this coming Monday, and we have the NL lineup announced: Albert Pujols, Adrian Gonzalez, Prince Fielder, and Ryan Howard. Dan and I are each going to choose one guy who we think is going to get the least number of home runs. I guess you'd say in the first round, right? That's the best way to do it.
First round. Yeah.
Least number of home runs in the first round. So, have you thought about it, and who would you like to take?
I think I want to take Prince Fielder.
Wow, it's my boy.
I know. Well, I was thinking that's the one guy you're absolutely not allowed to take, because you have him on your team, and are like, if you could wrap your arms around him, you would give him a hug.
If I could lift him, I definitely would.
Well, I think this is his first home run derby. I think he feels the nerves a little bit.
All right, well, if we're going to do this game, then I'm taking your boy, Adrian Gonzalez.
Do it. Throw it right back in my face. I like it.
Adrian Gonzalez has a place on Dan's fantasy baseball team, which is otherwise abysmal, but,
Whoa.
No. He's had a lot of injuries.
Shots are fired, and I cannot return your shots.
But no, I think, I'm almost sure it's Adrian's first.
I think so as well, yeah.
I feel like Prince is going to have a great time out there. I feel like he's the kind of guy that would not be nervous and would just go out and have fun and, like, crack a few. So, I think Adrian All Business Gonzalez is,
that's his new name. I like it.
I think he's going to be, like, really focused on doing well and kind of, like, freak himself out. Because you always see guys do that. I feel like Ryan Howard was in it last year or maybe 2 years ago and he stunk. But maybe now that it's his second or third time, he'll be a little more comfortable. But I feel like when it's your first time, either you're there to have fun or you're there to win. And your boy All Business is there to win, and that's a major problem.
I mean, one of us could have gone with a dark horse, and that Pujols would have cracked under the hometown pressure.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, but I mean, he's probably not. He's probably going to do really, really well.
He's probably not going to do like Josh Hamilton good, but he's going to do very good.
Yeah, well, he set the bar quite high.
Yeah. So no, I'm cool with Prince, and I'm cool with Adrian rather. I'm cool with Prince winning, but I'm cool with picking Adrian for the sake.
We know what you're saying, buddy.
So, yeah, you want to talk about the wager this week?
Wager for this week. Oh, yeah. So, as you guys know, and I'm sure love, we have our nice little intro with the whole short shorts guy. We actually have the Kool-Aid guy that did that. But that's a different story for a different time. But, so the loser next week is going to a T, recreate the short shorts intro for our viewer, listener, subscriber people.
And it'll then replace the one we usually put in the beginning.
Oh, is that permanently or just for like...
Oh, no, no, just for that one podcast. Or,
I was going to say, like, we've got a diamond in the rough with that intro. That's the only reason I think people listen to
it. No, I think definitely. They cut out at 45 seconds, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. There's a huge drop off at 45 seconds. I could have put my finger on it and then I realized that.
Well, two ways to do this. Like, I guess we could put the real one on the beginning and then put the one that the loser has to remake at the end of the podcast. Do you want to do it that way?
I think maybe do them. We should definitely do the real one at some point, so we could highlight how poorly the one of us does it.
We got to get the Madden Illustrator thing out and just dissect
sure,
it.
Sure.
Cool. All
right, so that's our bet for next. We'll get our podcast going next week, and we'll do a shorter one. Hopefully, in the next couple of days.
Yeah, watch out for the shorter shorts.
A little shorter shorts, triple S, if you will.
Yeah, let's do some. So we got shortshorts.tumblr.com is our website. Twitter page is something that we have, but we don't really do. So
we're gonna make a concerted effort there. We're gonna bring back Twitter single-handedly. Josh and I are gonna bring back Twitter.
Well, that's twitter.com/short_shorts. We're gonna bring back Twitter in a big way. One more thing we should talk about: any of you shorties live in New York City? Three to five of you. Dan and I run trivia night at a bar called the Bullpen, which is on 87th and First Avenue. It's at like 8:15 or 8:30 on Thursday nights. It's really fun. It's all common knowledge stuff, a lot of sports questions, But a lot of fun questions. If you win, you get an open bar for like 10 of your friends for a future trivia night. And let's just say that if anybody listening to this podcast comes to trivia night and gives us like a secret password of some sort, then we'll buy you a drink.
What's the secret password? Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi, exactly. If you come
so up not only will you get, we'll buy you a drink, but you're going to absolutely make me blush.
Yeah. So come up to us between rounds before trivia starts, look us dead in the eye and say Diana Taurasi. And,
yeah, don't even introduce yourself. I don't want any small talk.
Or introduce yourself as Diana Taurasi.
That would work too. And prepare to be hit on aggressively by me.
So, yeah, bullpen, 87th and first. Good times. And I guess we'll be back soon with a shorter shorts, or maybe even a short shorts.
Yeah, every Thursday night, by the way.
Every Thursday night is trivia, that's right. Every Thursday night.
All right, good stuff, buddy.
Cool, man.
Good to be back.
Yeah, it feels great to be back.
Yeah. All right, take it easy.
All right, later.